Today, we want to deal with another subject on the Sermon on the Mount. We talked about hate. Talked about thou shalt not murder and how hate can become a part of that in our lives. We can murder because we hate. We talked about the idea of lust. We talked about how we can lust in our heart. And Scripture says, Jesus said, you've heard it said, you shouldn't commit adultery. Don't commit adultery. But I say to you, if you look on a man or a woman to lust after them, you committed adultery in your heart already. We talked about that. Today we want to talk about the next one. There are six of them. The next one has to do with divorce. Now, probably every one of us here this morning, as well as listening through Facebook, have been affected by divorce in some way or another. I was 5 years old and my mom and dad divorced. I can tell you one of the symptoms of my situation was being in the middle. I always felt stretched by my mom and my dad. I loved them. They loved me. But I felt stretched and was affected in a lot of different ways. And back then, I felt like I was the only person in all the world who had parents that were divorced. That was 1955. Many of you don't even know. You can't relate to that. But many of us have been hurt. I have a loved one who went through a divorce, accused of different things, and just, it could have ruined things. Probably one of the toughest things this loved one has gone through in life. Happened because of divorce. So it's a subject that is old school. Jesus teaches us some different things, and it's a tough one. Now, I'm going to read the particular scripture in a moment, but I want to preempt this with a little illustration. There was a rich Chinese businessman that traveled to another country, and they showed him this telescope. They showed him petals of flowers and different things that looked different under the telescope. And they made them very beautiful and very ornate. And just, he said, I can't believe this goes beyond the human eye. Look at the beauty of this flower petal. So he was so intrigued with this, he bought one himself and took it back to China. He had enjoyed it and He thought, well, I'm going to have, you know, rice was one of his main intakes. So he was going to, thought he'd put some rice under the telescope, microscope. And he looked at that and brought it into focus. Now, let me preempt this by saying, I've never seen rice under a telescope, microscope. I don't know what it looks like, but what he saw was little things crawling on that rice. Now, keep eating rice. You're probably going to remember this. They say rice is good for you. Cook it good. He saw little things crawling on the rice, and he said, my goodness, what am I doing? I'm eating this. Well, you know what he did? He didn't throw the rice away. It continued to be a part of his diet. He threw the microscope away. He wanted to live in denial. He didn't want to see what was reality. And that's exactly what Jesus was thinking about the scribes. when he was sharing these principles, thou shalt not commit adultery. They didn't want to hear what Jesus had to say about adultery because he took it to the next level. See, it was okay because they thought the only thing that was sinful was the act. They wanted to throw Jesus away, and they wanted to throw this whole principle away of the adultery dilemma. Divorce. Now, before I read the scripture, let me give you some things I've found. You can find them as well. Every 13 seconds, there's a divorce in America. There are 277 divorces every hour. There are 6,646 divorces per day. There are 2,419,196 divorces every year. Did you know, out of all the countries, America is not number one. Russia is number one. But America is close behind in terms of the most divorces taking place out of all the world. There are 9 divorces in a time it takes individuals in a marriage ceremony to share their vows. There are 9 divorces. $19,353,568 divorces over the course of an average first marriage, which is less than 8 years. . 15%, which is a high number of women, are divorced or separated today, compared to 1% in 1930. Average duration of first marriages is male 7.8 years, female 7.9 years. It goes down after that. And second marriages is significantly less as well. And third marriage is much, much more less. So who's getting divorced and why in our culture today? In that 30-year-old bracket, 25 to 39, 60%. In the 80s, it was worse. So we're trending down a little bit, which is a positive note. But it doesn't sound very positive, does it? Wives most often file for divorce. Now, here's the 5 professions with the highest divorce rate. Dancers, 43%. Massage therapists, 38.2%. Bartenders, 38.4%. And gaming people, 34.6%. Now, here's the lowest divorce rates. Farmers, 7.63%. Podiatrist, I don't know why that would be, but it's only 6.81%. Clergy, I was interested in this, 5.61%. So they're pretty low. Personally, I've been married, let me see, 1973, which makes that, what, 47 years? I know I don't look. How did that happen? And many of you say, what a wonderful wife you have. Let me tell you this, and now you've heard me say this before. I married much better than she did. Did you get that? Yeah. Yeah. Here's what they say is the problem. The top three in terms of divorce. I'm going to start with number three. Finances. Financial problems create marital problems and relationship problems. Finances. Number two, yes, what is number two? It'll come back to me. Number one is communication. Number two is unfaithfulness. Unfaithfulness to your spouse. That's number two. Number one is communication. And communication, interestingly, I need to share this story. Believe it or not, I received an email yesterday. I saw the name and it didn't register. Lindsay was her name. She said, "Pastor Carr, we go by the Bethel Church of the Nazarene every week one way or another. And my husband and I often think of you. We Googled your name and found out where you were. You're up north. We just wanted to communicate with you. I married them in 2003. I married them at Bethel Nazarene, and they had a beautiful, beautiful reception at one of the palatial reception halls in that community. She said, "Do you remember you lived across the street from my mom and dad?" Then it rang the bell. "This is Lindsay, who is Mike and Fran's daughter. Lived across the street." She went on to say, "Pastor Carr, we just wanted you to know that we have a 13-year-old and a 10-year-old, and we are so happily married, and we remember one thing you taught us in marriage counseling. Taught us how to communicate." True story. It's on my phone. "We want to thank you and say hello to you and say we still love and appreciate what you've done for us." She said, "One thing we'll never forget is your beautiful spirit and your calmness about things." I thought, well, that's a nice remark. I read it to Lucy, and she said, "Oh, you're kidding." I says, no. Isn't that wonderful? So that was a blessing to me. And here I am addressing this issue of divorce in the current day we live in from a scriptural position. Remember, I've been talking about filters. How important we use filters. Now, let me tell you something about filters. It was Wednesday morning, about 6 o'clock. I arose from my side of the bed, got up, and my first place to visit is the coffee pot. True story. My first place to visit a coffee pot. I put the filter in, filled it up with water, filled the coffee in the filter, put it back together and put it in, and turned the coffee on. Waited until it was done. I poured the coffee, and the first thing I received was grounds of coffee. A little tired, I guess I put the filter in wrong, and I looked, and the filter was all bent over, and all the coffee grounds was in the coffee pot, and I drank, I took a sip of coffee, and I thought to myself, isn't that a brilliant example of how it is when we don't filter things properly through our minds and hearts through God's Word? I got bad coffee, bunch of grounds. It didn't work well. Now, let's don't throw the microscope away. Let's take a look at what Jesus has to say about this issue of divorce and apply it to our lives right where we live today. Look with me in Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 31. It has been said, there it is again, it has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce, a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to become an adulteress. And anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery. I thought to myself, wow. Seems like here the lady gets all of the problem. Doesn't say anything about the male at this point, Jesus didn't. Causes her to become an adulteress. I thought to myself, my first thought is, that isn't fair. That isn't fair. He divorced her. Why is it she's an adulteress? If she remarries, what about the husband? Ah. What about the husband? We need to look over in Luke 16. We're going to have Jesus address this for us. I'm going to cover some scripture here. Jesus covered this issue of the husband in Luke 16, verse 18. Jesus said to the Pharisees, he's first of all talking about how they justify themselves in the eyes of men, but God knows their heart. You'll notice that in verse 15. God knows their heart. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight. Then he talks a little bit about the law. Then in verse 17 he says, it's easier for heaven and earth to disappear than it is for the least stroke of a pen to drop out of the law. Then it says in verse 18, anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery. And the man who marries a divorced woman also commits adultery. Did you kind of pick that up? All the responsibility is put on the man. If I want to divorce my wife for any reason, then I'll cause myself and her and the man she marries to become adulterers. And you know, this is not outdated. This is just commonplace. Don't look at the word adulterers. It is a sinful practice, I understand. We've all come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned and come short. Not that we've all committed adultery, but we've all sinned. We all know the premise and the sorrow and the hurts of what sin can do in our life. We're talking about the issue of divorce in the context of right where we live. It desperately hurts people. It creates sorrow, pain, and tremendous disappointment. It hurts. So, it's interesting as well to look at another scripture. Over in Malachi chapter 2, verse 16. This is an Old Testament principle. But get this. Malachi 2:16 says that God hates divorce. So I would say, because God hates divorce, it should be the last resort. It should be the very last resort. Since God hates divorce, shouldn't we It may take counseling, it may take patience, but a marriage is worth saving, is worth the time and effort to try to save it. We should work at it. I know it's hard. We have feelings. We get broken. We get hurt. It's devastating. What God has put together, no man should separate. Man can separate it through a certificate of divorce, it says. But that doesn't mean God approves it. If you look at the scripture, over in Matthew 19, look at verses 3 through 9, Matthew 19. I'm going to read it for us. Some Pharisees came to him to test him. They asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?" Jesus said, "Haven't you heard that at the beginning of the Creator made them male and female? And said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife." The key is united to his wife. "And the two shall become one." That's the key. The two shall become one. In the sight of God as well as in my mind, Lucy and I are one. God united us. And I admire how she stuck with it. They're no longer two, it says in verse 6, but one. "Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate." And it goes on. After he had spent everything. Just a minute here. Squared away, I turned too many pages. Find where I'm at here now. Turn more than three pages. My, excuse me, folks. How did that happen? Luke 19. I want to make sure I'm right on this. Matthew 19. Did I say? All right, now I'm getting my act together. I guess this is a senior moment. Okay, here we are. "Why then," they asked, "did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away?" Jesus replied, "Moses permitted you to divorce your wives, and this is the reason, because your hearts were hard." It wasn't that it was God's will. It wasn't that God wanted it this way. It wasn't that he didn't want this, but it was because of the response. Man's heart got hard. Now, let me say this. God made us as free moral agents. That means we have this volitional privilege of choosing. We make our choices. And sometimes we make our choices and we have to live with it. There are many people that have made divorce choices and have said, "I wish I hadn't have done this." Many times in their situations, they said, "I wish we never would have done this. I wish we'd have never done this. This is not good. Not good for the kids. It's not good for me. It's not good for anybody around me. Look at the situation that I'm in. Look what I've caused. It's extended far beyond my comprehension." The problem is man's heart. Our hearts can get hard. And that's what we have to watch for. That's what we have to be careful of. We're to be united. We become one, but it's because our heart gets hard. The key, united with a wife. The root meaning of this word is, it means basically glued too. Not in the sense of Elmer's glue. Elmer's glue doesn't hold good enough. You've heard of Gorilla Glue, right? That's the kind of glue you need to use in your marriage. It just glues you better. You are glued 24/7. If couples were actually in reality glued 24/7, I'm sure the divorce rate would be much higher. But we are to stay together as like the Gorilla Glue. God's eyes are not on the two of us separately, but they're on us as one. Remember that. Joining together. Is it automatic? You have to work at it. You have to work at it. It's a desperate situation many times, and a lot of times it's hard for us to come to grips with it. Feelings are not the reason to marry. Feelings are involved, but I've learned so many times over the process of my Christian experience that faith is much more important than feelings. Feelings can deceive us. Hurt feelings can deceive us. Good feelings can deceive us. I know we're made with a sex drive. I understand that. But it's easy to get married for the wrong reasons. When you're just feeling the drive of the wedding train, that's just not a good reason to get married. Some couples fall into sin of premarital sex. It's easy to do. The sex drive is one of the strongest we have, and it's hard to resist. And I know the Apostle Paul said it's better to marry than to burn. I understand all this. But God wants us to learn to control our urges, don't you think? I know this is old-fashioned. I'm trying to keep it as the filter of God's Word so that we understand it in reality. We don't throw the microscope away, but we accept the reality of God's Word and say, okay, this is one of the values of Scripture. This is what Jesus teaches. Let's kind of accept it. We live in a day, we live in a fallen day, a day where really divorce affects all of us. We need to make the best of it. Absolutely. We need to really put the reality to this, the test, and say, okay, so we're in the midst of it. How do I do this? What do I do? Honor God the best you can. You can't control the mind of a husband, or you can't control the mind of a wife. You can do your best. But people have to live with the decisions of other people. It's not easy, but just understand what Jesus teaches. It's because of hard hearts. You can say what you will, but you know, Jesus used this whole principle of divorce as it's a hard heart issue. It's a heart issue. It isn't an external issue. It's an inward issue. Just like murder was an inward issue. Just like adultery is an inward issue. So is divorce. It's an inward issue. It's a hard heart. So sometimes we need to say, Lord, soften our hearts. Make us a little better. Amen. Get our hearts right with you. Help me control the urges. But help me to accept the things I cannot change. Now I would say to you, the church, you, the people, how do you respond to people going through divorce? We love them unconditionally. Even people that make bad decisions, you may have a loved one that's made a terrible decision, you're still to forgive. I can't help that. Say, well, I can't forgive such an act, and look at what it's done. I realize it's all done, but don't let it do you in. Don't let it do you in. Take on the forgiveness aspect. I was encouraged Saturday morning. Studying the Bible a little bit, and I went to 2 Corinthians. And I remember living with this principle in the midst of my daughter going through a very, very difficult divorce. And I was holding some things in my heart. You can understand. Family's hurt. We're all hurt. Daughter's hurt. The grandkids don't understand. They're young, and it's very, very difficult, as you know. Many of you have experienced it as well. But I ran across in 2 Corinthians, I think it was chapter 2, chapter 4. Through that whole process, Paul was trying to address how he was admonishing the church at Corinth to live a life of forgiveness. To live a life of forgiveness. Doesn't mean things change. But if I live a life of forgiveness, then my heart is not holding hate. My heart doesn't have the potential. It always has the potential, but my heart, because I'm living a life of forgiveness, doesn't cause me to hold grudges and unforgiveness. I can forgive my son-in-law. Hard? Not easy? No. But I'm telling you, the importance of living a life of forgiveness will set you free. Amen. You don't have to have murder in your heart. You don't have to have lust in your life. You don't have to be an adulterer. You can be a forgiven person. Doesn't that make sense? Tough subject. But somebody's got to keep the telescope or the microscope in order so we can see clearly. Would you stand with me? Divorces. Since I've been preaching, there's probably been an average of nearly 200 that have divorced or are getting divorced. Okay? Does that put a reality to where we're living? The conflict of our culture. Keep your eyes on the Lord, don't you think?
Yes.
Keep God's word as a filter in your life, and God will be with you and help you. He'll strengthen you and mature your faith. He'll help you through those hard places. Some of the toughest spots in the world that people face are because of broken relationships. Marriage difficulties, divorces, adultery. Jesus taught us well, and He's teaching us again today. Don't throw the microscope away. Heavenly Father, we realize this is a difficult subject, and we understand the heartaches of Your people. It's kind of a solemn moment of heartache and seriousness. We all have been affected by marital breakdowns and relationship breakdowns. And Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to help us. Use your word. Encourage. It's a filter of what comes into our life in terms of truth. But yet, Lord, teach us to live a life of forgiveness and teach us to live a life where we ourselves can, beyond all shadow of a doubt, reasonably practice control. Go with us today. Honor us with your presence. May the fellowship of your Spirit, the love of God, and the forgiveness of Jesus go with us. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, God bless you. Thanks for